Back here at Cofield and Company. Adam Hill, Case Kiefer, Steve Cofield up in Utah, in a very obscure part of Utah, with UNLV getting ready to play Utah State. But this is time for RJ Bell. It's when we always talk to him each and every Friday. How you doing, sir?
Excellent, excellent. So Cofield is where? What city is this?
I think it's Logan, where Utah State is.
Wouldn't it be funny if he came back, like, and he said, I'm getting married, or, you know, just, like, some wild, like, hangover-type story?
From Logan, Utah? I don't think that's possible.
But it could have. Hey, listen, you ever see Big Love?
Sure.
See?
Yeah,
all bets are off.
We can have, like, five wives. Back from there. RJ Bell, pregame.com, at RJ in Vegas. You can find him on Twitter. And a little radio show over on Fox, right, RJ?
Yeah, straight out of Vegas, baby. National. We just got our station count, and 180 stations right now across the country. And we added, Adam, three top 20 markets in a month. Today was our 20th show, 1 month in, and we've added, just in the first month, we added Denver, Seattle, and one other one, let me see, and Detroit, all in the first month, all top 20 markets.
Well, Detroit won't be top 20 for long, RJ.
Yeah, you know, I always hear there's a renaissance coming there.
my beloved hometown. RJ, we are on one station, but it's a really good one.
Yeah, and listen, let's be candid, and I say this with all sincerity, a really good, and you guys have the best ratings in town, a really good afternoon drive show or morning show, whatever, that it connects with the community in a way no national show can. And to me, that's a whole different, you know, when I do Boston, I do the Sports Hub or whatever, those guys are like, you know, celebrities in Boston. And, you know, I won't say Adam Hill is a celebrity, but I think it could be said.
Wow, okay. Well, maybe.
But all joking aside is, you, because you started radio, you know, ambivalently, I think it's fair to say, and I think you've got a taste for it. I mean, it's been years. Don't you feel like you can connect with, you got more listeners listening every day, the whole 3 hours, than any national show is going to have?
Well, and especially, like, concentrated. So, I mean, you do feel it kind of more, I think, when you're...
Yeah, but think about it. It's 15 hours a week for your dedicated listeners that you're in their lives. It's like, I'm a huge Howard Stern fan, right? So I listen to maybe 15 hours of Howard a week, though I don't listen live all that much. I go to you know, I've got Sirius, but I go to YouTube and listen. I feel like Howard is like my sixth best friend. Now, obviously, I don't know him, but like, I know Howard as well. Like, how many people do I know better than I know Howard Stern? Just from the radio, I don't think it's more than five or six. And there's people out there that say, I know Adam Hill. He's my second best friend, and I've never met him.
I'm with you, RJ. On Sunday, Adam and I were together with some friends watching some of the late games at a bar, and a guy started inquiring. A guy may have had a couple cocktails about, like, hey, what do you guys do? One of our friends engaged with him, unsurprisingly, said, oh, well, this is Case, this is Adam. And he's like, Kiefer? He rolled his eyes. Then he said, Hill? I'm going to go talk to him about the Browns. Then he proceeded to bother Adam for the next 10
minutes.
You're
saying the emotion you engender is disdain.
Yeah, so I'm saying Adam, celebrity, Kiefer, villain, and that's, I mean, that's stretching it. But
you
Adam
need a hero
a
and a villain in any story.
There you go. Well, RJ, where are we going to rank Josh Rosen on that scale?
Well, I think he, in the midterm, is going to be quite good. You know, he feels like an Andy Dalton or a little bit better. And we can make fun of Andy Dalton, but, you know, he's the top half. You know, he's, I don't know, this year even better, I think, than he's been historically. But what's Dalton right now? Ninth best quarterback? Tenth?
Probably around that area.
And in his career, 15th?
Probably.
Yeah. So it feels like that, you know, you got a smart kid and, you know, got the enough physical tools. It doesn't feel like he's ever going to be a top five guy, but hey, listen, there's about half the teams that would want a top half of the league quarterback. That said, I like the Vikings this week. I'm not going to bet it because I try to simplify my life, and one of them is I never lay double digits in the NFL, okay? But if I had to lay it once a year, it would be this game. Why? What's the problem with double-digit favorites? You got to be concerned if they're focused, if they're looking ahead. Last time Minnesota was a double-digit favorite, they got beat as a 17-point favorite against the Bills. You know they're not looking ahead. That's what keeps me away from Arizona.
There you go. Chargers go to the Browns. Browns, it's a round pick, but they're a very short home dog in spots. But we'll essentially call this game a pick for these purposes. But you would think that a team coming off of back-to-back overtime games would be in a really, really tough spot. It's really not the case traditionally.
Yeah, I tweeted this out. It was I thought, oh, this is going to be good. Off two OT games against the spread, the third game, 21-22-1. So almost break even. Now, doesn't mean there's no effect. It means the marketplace considers it. They say, oh, I'm not going to bet the Browns, and because of that. Same thing with 10 a.m. Pacific starts. A lot of, let's call them amateur handicappers, will say, oh, 10 a.m. start. Doesn't mean it doesn't mean anything, and in some situations, especially if a team's tired in general, it can mean more. And some teams like Arizona, for example, have lost 9 straight against the spread on 10 a.m. starts, backing up a game. But generally, if you just play all 10 a.m. starts, fading those teams, and I'm talking body clock for the West Coast teams, when they play East, you're not going to win money. So I think the market understands, hey, two overtimes is tiring. But here's the piece that I uncovered I haven't seen elsewhere. Browns are only the second team in 30 years to start the season with five straight games, all decided by 4 points or less. So 3 of those overtime, the other 2 were also 4 points or less. That's fatiguing. Because even if you get blown out, the third and fourth quarter is not as fatiguing. They've had these super intense emotional and physical games. I got to wonder about the Browns being tired.
Certainly a fair point, and we'll monitor that. That's good stuff to watch for here coming up with that game, and that's RJ Bell at RJ in Vegas on Twitter. Pregame.com is the site, straight out of Vegas over on Fox Sports Radio. Always interesting to see some really overwhelming trends, and I think you have one in the Bears-Dolphins game when you have a road favorite, as the Bears are a very short favorite in Miami, with 13 or more days rest.
Yeah, so effectively a bye, though sometimes weeks are canceled and stuff, so you just add it all in there. And obviously after 9/11 was an example that threw everyone's database off when they had the week off. So let's just call it a bye and say if you have a bye and you're a road favorite, you're 60-22 against the spread. That's 73% against the spread. Now, people might say, RJ, I thought road favorites, you weren't supposed to bet them. Well, yeah. You know why you're not supposed to bet them? Because they are clearly the better team. That's why they're favored on the road. And oftentimes they overlook that team. And the public loves to bet road favorites because they think, oh, wait a minute, that team's so much better, but they're only laying 3, only laying 4. The math you need to do is add 6 points to the favorite, flip venues, and say, well, would you be anxious to lay, let's say it's a 3-point favorite, 9 if your team was home? Well, no. Well, then why do you want to lay 3 on the road? But with the bye, you get rid of that looking past the team. Why? Because you had a week off, and now you're ready to play. You're focused. And when you have a focused team that's better, they tend to cover, and 70-plus percent of the time, teams off byes, the road favorites cover. And you see the market move. The Bears were 3. Now they're 3.5.
Redskins coming off a terrible performance, which we went over with John Murray from the Westgate earlier on in this hour. But Redskins off that awful performance on Monday night, coming home to play the Panthers. And I think the Carolina offense running the ball against Washington's defense trying to stop the run might be the biggest matchup here.
Yeah, exactly right. If you look at DVOA, Carolina 4th best rushing team, Washington the 30th best or 3rd worst against the run. And because of that, it makes me like Carolina. Plus the matchups. remember, we got two teams here that's had the same coach for a while. So you can look at some matchups in the series between them. They played in 15 and 16, so twice. Carolina won the game by 39 combined points, two games. 70 to 31 was the combined score. They covered by a combined 38 points. So schematically, you can say, and a lot of the same players, it's only been a couple years ago, you can say Carolina has made a statement, they're better than Washington, or at least they match up well, and this year, with the strength of the Carolina offense rushing against the weakness of the Carolina defense against the rush, most wise guys are going to take that home team in a short number. I actually like the Panthers.
There you go.
Speaking of some series matchups, your Steelers, RJ, I've lived out here 10 years, and that's when I've really bet the NFL aggressively. And I don't know if I can remember a time where the Bengals beat the Steelers. It seems like the Steelers beat up on them every year.
Yeah, it's true, and especially in Cincinnati, more than you would expect. That's 29 games in Cincy, 24-5 straight up Pittsburgh, 21-8 against the spread. Why? Well, I grew up in the area, in the Pittsburgh area, an hour away in Ohio, and you don't realize Pittsburgh's about a three-hour drive to Cincinnati. And we know the avid Steeler fans and the terrible Towels take over a big chunk of the stadium. That's one of the rationales, I think. Number two, and the final reason I bet Pittsburgh here, is I think Cincinnati easily could be 1-4. They won three coin flip games. And coin flip games, I'm saying generously, they were less than 50% in each of those three at a given point deep in the game. Won all three. A lot of people, not professional bettors, would say, but RJ, that's what winners do. Eh, maybe. I don't think so. If you look at the numbers, there's no correlation between winning close games early in the year and late in the year, and there's no correlation year to year. Think about Larry Bird. He makes a bunch of free throws. Does that increase the chance back in his prime he'd make the next one? Yeah, because that's telling you something about his ability to make free throws. There is no ability, really, to win close games. Now, there's occasionally a team like the Pats with Belichick, you can make the key wins more because he's such a great tactician. And maybe there's teams like really bad at it, like the Browns. But I did a study, guys, went back 6 years, and like in any given year, there's a bunch of teams that win or lose games disproportionately by one score. So if you just look at the close games, they're 4-1, 1-4, whatever. But if you go back year two, year three, year four, and keep adding up the years, there were only three teams that had an extreme result. One was the Patriots, and I only went back 6 years. Forget about going back more. Patriots on the positive, the Browns and the Chargers playing each other on the negative. So you could say 6 years isn't enough and maybe it all evens out, or you could say with a vast majority of teams, close games are coin flips.
Well, we're on the same side of that one. I have some Pittsburgh in my pocket as well, and I think that close game thing is a really good point. Not even the series history. I just think Cincinnati's so fortunate to be sitting at 4-1 right now. You mentioned New England. Let's see if we're on the same side of this one as well. Sunday Night Football, another one of the big games of the week. Patriots hosting the red-hot Kansas City Chiefs.
Awesome. I'll go through this one quick because I want to ask you guys a quick question before you got to run. I'm going to watch this one. On one hand, I think the fact it's 3.5, the market's telling us the Pats are better than KC. I'm not sure about that. But, boy, KC's defense is bad. And there is a stat ESPN put out that I tweeted I thought was outstanding. Quarterbacks younger than 25 playing in New England during the regular season are 0-23 straight up. Last time a young quarterback like Mahomes won in New England was 2001. Doesn't mean he won't win, but boy, I don't want to bet on Kansas City. At 3, I consider New England, but not at 3.5. Let me ask you guys a question. On our podcast with Fezzik, I offered him this proposition. Give me the Raiders minus 13.5. So this is a pleaser type bet, and I'm going to want big money line. Right? I'm going to want a big money line payout. What would you give me booking me if I were on the lay Raiders minus 13.5?
Wow.
You leaned right in. I thought you were confident. I thought you had a number.
No, I was just What are you going with, Case?
I think it's all right.
So minus 13.5,
and I'm a 3-point dog in the game.
Yeah, plus 650.
Okay, interesting.
I was thinking plus 600s.
All right, mathematically, if you go back and find all 3-point dogs, how often they win by 14 or more, they win 10% of the time. Fezzik gave me 14-1.
Wow.
Yeah, so Fezzik's the best I've ever met, and it's not even close coming up with odds like instantly, but I got him on this one. So Raiders, I bet 100 to win 1,400 on the podcast. If Raiders, and here's the thing, if you have history saying 10%, the reason I like it is London is such a high variance place. Teams come, there's more blowouts in London than anywhere because there's so many factors that typically don't affect an NFL game. So I think I got a juicy bet.
Sounds great. I think I might even take, even if he adjusted the line a little bit, I think I may hit him up and ask for 10-1 or something.
I actually would bet more at 10-1.
Interesting. Maybe I can find out what I can get, what I can lay to do the plus 13.5.
Well, see, we go no big line, right? Because we don't like bookies. I know you have your bookies on. I'm not blaming you, but the bookies are the enemy.
Okay, that's fair enough. All right. Well, RJ is not the enemy. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Pregame.com is the site straight out of Vegas. Over on Fox Sports Radio, the podcast, just so much more. RJ, you're all over the place. We thank you for spending some time with us.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
RJ Bell. Follow him up on Twitter at RJ in Vegas.